Well, good morning. Welcome to the Sunday edition of the Voice of Believers Church, where we come together as a family of God and we learn. We learn from His Word. We learn how to overcome and win. Praise God. While we get ready to take up our tithe and offering, if you need any envelopes, just let us know and one of these handsome young men will get it to you. We're going to look, you don't have to go there, but in Hosea 4:6, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. And it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Destroyed for lack of knowledge, not destroyed for lack of money, not destroyed even for lack of freedom, but lack of knowledge. And not talking about any knowledge, talking about God's knowledge. And then it says, "Because you, my priestly nation, have rejected knowledge, you have forgotten the law of your God." In the Message, it says, "My people are ruined because they don't know what's right or true." Isn't that so true? They're ruined because they don't know what's right and they don't know what's true. So it's important that we know what's right and what's true. In the New Living, it says, "My people are being destroyed because they don't know me." See, the definition for prosper is to bloom, flourish, produce fruit, good fruit, progress, to grow strong and healthy, to make successful, to make happy, to do well. See, many people think prosperity is a bad word now. But I'll tell you, it's God's plan to prosper. It's not a quick rich scheme. It's not to step on other people and steal from them. This is to follow God's plan. You know, salvation means deliverance. Deliverance from death. Deliverance from the curse. Deliverance. Nothing missing and nothing broken. And it will produce favor, the blessing of God. Favor with God and man. It'll produce opportunities to prosper. Isn't that good? See, God's desire is for us to be blessed as if sin never happened. That's what His free gift of righteousness does. But we have to learn from His way of how to operate in the blessing. Because I'll tell you, sin brings the curse. Sin brings death, it brings poverty, and it brings sickness. And it's a trap of the enemy to lure us away from God's life, the gift of life, His blessing. Amen. I'm just so glad that we have that knowledge. Isn't that good? Amen. Well, let's get ready to pray over it in agreement. Father God, you said when two more agree on anything, you'll perform it. You said, Lord, that when we bring our tithes and offerings to your house, Lord, you open up the windows of heaven. You pour out a blessing so big there's not even room enough to take it all in. So much we're giving it away. I thank you, Lord, that you rebuked the devourer from touching our stuff and destroying the fruit of our ground, and all the nations would call us blessed. You said in Luke 6:38, when we give, it'll be given back, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men bring into our bosom. So I speak the blessing over each household here. I speak increase, multiplication, and I thank you that the enemy has been rebuked from stealing from us. And I thank you, we prosper here in this household. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen. 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 Well, while our young men take up the tithes and offering, our announcements are we're going to have Monday night recovery at 6:30. It's going to be testimony night, right? Yes. Testimony night. And it's for anyone who needs encouragement or needs to be set free. We do extra one-on-one praying, extra teaching and instructions. Also, I wanted to let you know yesterday that we took some computer. We were working on our website. We're praying and believing they're going to be able to get it working where Lyle can update it. But we took the computer to Kaufman Computers up in, where is that? Yeah, close to Cookville.
Union Hill.
Anyway, the guy there, we did not know, not only was he a Christian, but he's a pastor too, right? And he goes on mission trips to Uganda. Amazing. And he spends like 30 days in October and in February, and he's ministering to Muslims over there. And he does helps with orphanages. Oh, and they're building a school for pastors and leaders over there with Liberty University. It's really neat. So we're going to be part of that. We decide. So, you know, he does an 8-week study with them. And so, and now we, plus we have an orphanage that we help funds in Thailand. It's called Tree of Life. And you can actually look at it on our website, voiceofbelieverschurch.org. And there's a direct link. And what I like about their orphanage is it's a family. They have a school there, and then they send them to college, and then they do their weddings. I mean, like a real family. Isn't that something? Yep. And is there any other? Okay. Praise God. All right. Well, we're ready to hear from Pastor Lyle. Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear. Yeah, we shut that projector off. I'm unable to. I'm doing a little work on my phone system, so I'm unable to put the scriptures up on the projector. So you're going to have to look in the Bible today. The old-fashioned way, I'm sorry. I got to get the IP address put up there on my phone where it'll connect through the internet and everything. Yeah, what Monica was saying was Kaufman Computers. It's on County Road 3053, I think, on the north side of 67 between Mount Pleasant and Cookville. And he said if you go there, say Voice of the Believer Church, Acts 2:38, and he'll give you a discount, he said, praise God. So if you need any work done on your computers, he's a real nice gentleman. And what else is going on? We're not going to be here on Monday Night Recovery on the 7th, which is Labor Day of September. Will not be here. That's a little bit farther ahead than normally I go talking about that. September the 13th, we'll have the Gideons in, so be prepared for the Gideons, an offering for the Gideons, praise God. And Mr. Kaufman, we're talking about maybe bringing him on a Wednesday night, and he's going to bring his computer, and he's going to figure out how to hook into the projector, and he can show a slideshow of Uganda, of the children over there, and the building that they built. He raised $12,000 to buy that, like 10 acres of land or whatever it was, or I don't know how many acres. It was $12,000, I think he raised. And they're building, they got water line going through there and other things, so they're going to be able to grow their own food there for the he's really focused on that area right there, because, I mean, they're out there with the rhinos and the hippopotamuses, and they hadn't seen, thank God that he said they hadn't seen any black mamas in a couple, 2 or 3 years. So he said they're fast. He says them things will chase you and catch you. You got to be on like a moped or something to outrun them kind of snakes. He said they're not like the rattlesnakes and things like that. They're fast and they're bad. You better believe God for like old Paul did when he shook it off his hand into the fire. You better believe it, you're live, because you got about a minute or two to get to the doctor to get an antidote to stop that one. We got that. You know, I'm going to try to bring him on a Wednesday night, and we're going to do an offering for him, try to get together and send with him. He needs it by September the 20th to go. He leaves in October to go to Uganda, and they take salt, like 50 pounds of salt, and a bunch of other stuff over there to the Ugandans. We're going to do a second part series of Abrahamic Covenant, Lord Stern and Me. Yeah, it's that time. Then I think we're going to go into probably Do Not Fear after this in September. It's, you know, stirring in me that you're going to have to stay firm in the Word more than ever. I see that, you know, my pastor told me that when I came into pastorship, he says, do anything you can do, but don't go into pastorship. Well, I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know what he was warning me about. I didn't know the mental challenge that you would have to be prepared to go do it. And and with you with your wife and with your family and everything else, that you have to be prepared and stay strong from the devil attacking your mind and in your life, let alone suddenly it's like physically, or, you know, people probably with jobs and things like that. And I don't want to proclaim it, but I've noticed, you know, that even my brothers and sisters that are not in pastorship, they're having to fight the good fight of faith. I'll put it that way. We're having to, more than ever, we're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. That's what he's laying on my heart. And judgment's not coming to the body of Christ. You don't get into that. Stay in God's love. Love people. Love God. Love people. Stay in that. And remember Psalm 91? We're in the last sliver of time. Last sliver of time before Jesus comes back the first time. See, everybody gets that confused. They're like pre, mid, and end tribulation. They don't understand that Jesus comes back twice. First time he comes back, everything's normal. It looks, everybody's getting married. They're giving in marriage. They're buying land. He comes as a thief of night. You don't even know what happened. And then there's other scriptures in there. He's coming in, it's terrible. It's just a just terrible time. Well, that's after the 7-year feast that we've been up there 7 years. He came the first time. He'll come back with us for that 1,000-year reign before the whole earth, before the 7 years of tribulation. They destroy the whole earth so we can reign for those 1,000 years. He's coming twice there, and they get confused about that. But in this sliver of time that we're left before he pulls us out, you know, we're going to have to really stand on our covenant like never before, I really do believe. And judgment's not coming on you. You got to keep reminding yourself by the Word of God. God's good. He's love. Psalm 91, you got to stand on. What's it? 1,000 fall one side, 10,000 to the right hand. And stay firm and focused on the Word like never before. Praise God. And another thing I want to say is in the bylaws of this church, I've never really talked about this, but I was just thinking about Linda and the Bakers and everything. And it's in the bylaws that when you come to this church, if you come more than once, you're a member of the church. And there's no don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this. There's no law, this, that, and everything. So just to know that we don't have a piece of paper that you got to sign and all that kind of stuff to become a member. Yeah, just to have your address and number and everything. But as far as if you came twice, you're a member. Praise God. So it's in the bylaws that way. As a family, right. So I guess you had to do it according to the state of Texas with corporation, incorporated, and it's what it was all done. And you got to have it done by their way of doing it, but it's actually just a family, what it comes down to. But you got to do it their way, too. All right, youth and children can go. I just wanted to share that. Don't eat too much popcorn now, you know. Yeah, I'm hungry. Well, we're talking about the Abrahamic covenant. And I'm working on the website, I will say that. I got everything on the website going good. I'm working on getting the sermons uploaded in the back side of the website where you can see it on the front side when you look at the church website. So I'm working on with Mr. Kaufman on that, how to get that done. So that's been a challenge, praise God. But we will be victorious. I could see being a quitter. See, a lot of people are quitters before they come following Jesus and the Word of God. They just quit on things. But that's the thing about what the Word does to me. I'm not a quitter anymore. I will refuse to quit, praise God. Refuse to quit. And I'm going to walk in love, gotta love God and love people, be quick to forgive, and not quit. All right, we've talked about the Abrahamic covenant. We started on Wednesday night. This is the second part of the series. And God first proclaimed his blessing on Adam. On Adam, you know, have dominion, be fruitful, multiply, take authority. And Adam had given that authority away, and that's when, to the devil, and that's when the curse came in. That's when he had to work by the sweat of his brow, and he was working hard, and Eve had to have childbirth and pain and sorrow, and so then the blessing was proclaimed on with Noah. But then he did it again with Abraham. He proclaimed the blessing on Abraham, and we shared that. We're not going to turn there today. We shared that on Wednesday on the basis that is Genesis chapter 17, 1 through 9, where his name was Abram and changed it to Abraham. He told him, I have a covenant between me and you and your people, and you will be the father of many nations. And we're going to talk about that because how it correlates from the Old Testament. This one correlates from the Old Testament into the New Testament because he's called the father of us all, of faith. And he had physical healing. He had financial blessings. The one thing he lacked in this part of the covenant was spiritual blessings. He couldn't get saved. He couldn't get saved. Because Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet, but he was waiting for that promise to come by. To come to pass. So the gospel was actually first preached to Abraham. And in each generation, as they follow God, stayed in His covenant, it would activate. It would activate into each generation, into us. It's now as part of our covenant, praise God. And then He spoke the blessing over Abraham, and that is in Genesis 12, chapter 2, and I will read that 2 and 3. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So that blessing was spoken on him. That same covenant blessing has passed down to his descendants that stayed in this covenant, and now it's come to us. I can prove from the Word of God. Another place is Galatians 3, 13 and 14, that Jesus was hung on the cross, died on the cross, become a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles. Gentile means without covenant here on the earth. You were once a Gentile, now you're not a Gentile. You're a Christian because you have a covenant now. You have a covenant. And the promise of the Spirit through faith. So this covenant is for us today. Praise God. This Abrahamic covenant is for us today. And now the good news is, with Abraham, he had looked at the dust of the sea and the stars of the sky to use faith for, to believe for Isaac and for this covenant to take place and come to pass. Because other than probably writings or, I would say, things that have been talked about what happened to Adam and Seth and Abel, and Noah, things that were talked about and they were brought into human existence, and people talked about it from 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 years before Abraham was alive. That's the only way he found out about that. So he didn't have the Bible to run to. But yet, faith was, he believed God, and righteousness was imputed to him because of faith, because he trusted God. And that's why he's called the father of faith. And so this covenant, added the new covenant, makes it even better. The promises are even better, praise God. And it's a much better covenant because now, we got all the, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but let's go ahead and start. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. This is the New King James. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. All right, I'm going to read down the Amplified. And beware, lest you say in your mind and heart, my power and my might of my hand have got me this wealth. But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, as he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. So we must keep in remembrance, and that's what I'm here for, to bring remembrance of the Bible, God's promises. That's what God sends a pastor to, of many things. It's not that. It's also to pray and to visit and other things like that, but it's to bring faith. Bring faith in the Word of God and trust in God. And you look at the different ministries like Billy Graham or Osteen's or Joyce Myers. You see how the covenant they were walking in has been a blessing. And it's building that blessing. And increase has come. Increase has come. If you own a business, the increase comes because you're walking in that covenant. You're putting Jesus first in that business, and the increase comes, praise God. Just like Mr. Kaufman at Kaufman Computers, you know, he told me about Acts 2:38. Tell y'all come over there, and he'll give you a discount on that. And he said, he's going to Uganda. He actually is a pastor of a church, too. He pastors. Mr. Kaufman pastors a church in Linden. It's an all-black church, and it's in Linden, the Church of Christ. And that's where he drives all the way from over here to Linden every Sunday and I don't know if he goes Sunday night or not, but Wednesday he don't have church over there. But I think he's going to come up. I'm going to try to get him over here to show the slideshow of Uganda. It'd be interesting to see the little children and things. And he showed us the tools he had. He had little, because they had to plant everything by hand. They don't have John Deere planters. They had these little instruments that they, you know, they used. Some of the stuff he brought back. It was pretty neat. So God's covenant is established and working for us today. All right, I have 3 points here. God gave covenant people the ability to obtain wealth. I'm talking about godly wealth. I'm not talking about ungodly riches. You know, there's ungodly riches that the satanic hold has, and it's ungodly, and usually it's gotten, I've seen it myself, where I've worked at a place where they want me to, you know, lie and try to tell them how much, you know, for they could get make more money, and I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. And, you know, by stealing and cheating other people, ungodly riches. But we're talking about the blessing coming on God's people by doing the right thing. To do what? Then not only your life is blessed, but you're a blessing to others. Your cup runs over where you can be a blessing to others, praise God, and live that life. You can become an outsource to other people, praise God. Because I'm telling you right now, Satan wants you to believe in poverty and that the Christians are supposed to be poor. But he's wrong. He's wrong. I mean, yeah, would you want your child to be poor and beggarly and no clothes hardly on? Just no, God doesn't either. It's actually, this Bible has more scriptures about prosperity, the management of money and the blessings than it does about salvation. But I did not say it was more important than salvation. I did not say that. But it has more scriptures about it. That's how important it was to God about to make sure his children had more than enough, praise God. I mean, did the Israelites' clothes wear out or the shoes wear out for those 40 years in the wilderness? No. God took care of them, praise God. Number two, we need wealth to get this covenant established. God said it. I didn't. He said it over there in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I just got done reading it. We need wealth to get the covenant established. Number three, the promise is good for today. And that's so encouraging. It's just as good today as it was, what, probably 4,500 years ago when God promised to Abraham. And it correlates into the New Testament. God's will is to keep his promise as it is this day. Let's look over at Psalms 35:27. 35:27. Psalms 35:27. Amplified, I'm reading this one out of. Let those who favor my righteous cause and have pleasure in my uprightness shout for joy and be glad and say continually, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He takes pleasure. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God wants you blessed. God's not judging you. God's not judging you. He wants you blessed. God loves you. All good things come from God. You're going to have to really remember this over the months and the time that's coming ahead, this last sliver of time. God loves you, and you're going to stay in the Word, praise God. Stay close to the Word. So he takes pleasure. He does not take pleasure. He gets no glory out of any of his people being sick, broke, or poor. You have to refuse poverty. I, in the morning, not only do I walk in love, love God, love people, I stay out of strife because every evil work is strife. I'll just walk away from somebody if they want to just fight. I did on, and I'm human, it was at Friday or Thursday, someone, and usually I don't say nothing. I done good all Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It was Friday. One of my coworkers just bent the wrong way, and I hollered back at him. Not mean, but he was aggravating the tar out of me, and And the big boss was right there. So I said, well, if he's going to try to mess with me, I'm gonna say this. And I didn't think about it. It just came in my mouth. And later on, I kind of put my arm around and said, I apologize for saying hollering at you like that. But, yeah, he bent me the wrong way. So I made it right, praise God, with the man. And had to, you know, come out before I could stop it. So I'm still human. So, but one thing I speak in the morning is not only do I speak the blessing, the promises, and I mean, I'm tither and all those things, so I know I have rights, just like your Bill of Rights, just like your Constitution, and that's why it's built off the Bible. I have rights, the Bill of Rights. And I speak to debt and poverty. I tell it to go. When I'm in the morning, I'm speaking that over the church, members of the church, and me and Mike and our family. I speak to you debt, lack, and poverty. You get out of our bank account, check account, savings account, And now speaking of that, and Satan, I bind you up. You can't mess with anything we're believing for or got. Mission the angels go get everything we believe in Jesus' name. And these are the things I'm speaking every morning just about that I can recall. So you had to not only refuse it, but you had to, and you got to speak against the, I learned to speak against the other stuff and say, nope, you're not coming on us. We refuse that. God cannot establish his covenant in one's life unless we believe it and operate in it. We got to act on it. Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29. King James, New King James. 9. Deuteronomy 29:9, New King James. Therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Seems evident that God wants you to prosper, doesn't it? It's everywhere. It's everywhere in the Bible. All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who come in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations, their idols that which among them, wood, stone, silver, gold, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turned away from today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that you may not be among you a root bearing witness of wormwood, and so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. So we're doing the word of God. We're walking in love. We're quick to forgive. We're staying out of strife. We're doing what God told us to do. We're quoting the promises of God. And as we do, this blessing is on our life. The blessing is here for us. Keep this covenant and you will prosper exceedingly wealthy. Abraham was a wealthy man. In fact, remember I told you it was Genesis 12:2, where God proclaimed the actual blessing. He made a covenant over there in Genesis 17, but he proclaimed the blessing on, his name was Abram, on 12:2 and 3. By the time, it didn't take Abram but one chapter to get to Revelation, and he was blessed by God. One chapter, praise God, and he was blessed. On 13:2 it said, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. One chapter. Now, we need to get a hold of a revelation that quick, praise God. We need to be in the Word of God and be quoting the Word of God and get a revelation of God's blessings for our lives and healing and deliverance and all the things. Because with revelation comes the blessing, comes everything that you need when you get revelation of it. It becomes part of you. I mean, even in your family or your marriage or whatever, when you're studying the Word of God, it becomes part of you because you get revelation knowledge of it. Now, if it was easy back then, how much easier is it now? How much easier is it now to be blessed and walk in this covenant? So much easier to stay healed, to be prosperous and blessed, because now we have the Holy Spirit. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit and have your prayer language, pray in the Spirit. You can have you got health and healing by healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus went to the cross, defeated the devil. So we have the Word of God, all these different things. We have authority over the devil like they never had. So much easier for us than it was back then. The only thing standing in the way of our receiving is our failure to act on God's Word like we're supposed to, as an heir. You know, Jesus said that we were joint heirs, didn't he? He said we're joint heirs. So that means what he has, we have. And don't look at the old and things that you used to go to church and you see Jesus on a picture, poor and beggarly, almost begging for bread or water, because that's not even a good picture, not even a picture of Jesus Christ. Picture is the Gospels and see who he was. He was a man of authority, walked around with authority. He was a man that the Romans guards, when he was about to be crucified, he'd give his life up willingly. He kept saying it, that he was going to go to the cross or that he was going to die. He kept saying it until it came to pass. He'd give his life up willingly. But when the Romans were fighting over his clothes, they were so nice. Chapter 8 of Luke, first part of it, said that that he had the women, and named them off, I'm not going to name them off, that were supplying his needs. He had, in his ministry, he had a treasurer who was Judas, who betrayed him. Go read it over in John, where after Jesus washed her feet, that right before Satan entered into Judas to deceive him, the other 11 disciples thought Judas went out to take the money bag to go give money to the poor that Jesus told him to. So Jesus was by far blessed and taken well care of, praise God. And you think, well, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rockefeller blessing, or Rockefeller, how they got their money so great, but it's nothing compared to what God's blessing is, or any riches here on the earth than what God's blessing is. It's so much better. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. This is a much better covenant. And you don't have to steal and cheat. You can do it by believing and trusting God, doing it God's way. Ephesians chapter 3, 20. This is the Amplified. Now to him who, by coincidence of the action of his power that it is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and to do superabundantly, far above, over above all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Even much more. Hallelujah, much more than what we could ever dream or hope or pray for. He wants to do much more. Jesus wants to do much more with you and your life, with your business and who you are and your family and your marriage. He wants to do much more. His it's super abundantly above all we can ask or think. So dream the big dreams of God. Dream the big dreams of God. And in fact, it says it over here in the Message, Ephesians 3:20. God can do anything, you know. I like that. God can do anything, you know. It's like, I like that old saying, all things are possible by God. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Praise God. Yes, he keeps leading us to do that right thing. He leads us to go pick up that Bible and read the Word. He leads us to do those confessions. He leads us to walk in love. He leads us, like I did Friday, and go tell that person I'm sorry for the way I acted. He leads us. Well, I want to stay away from strife, and I want to stay in the blessing. That wasn't my first mental thought. My first mental thought was I did wrong, and I shouldn't have hollered back at him. And we've done real good all 4 days, and I was doing real good. And then Friday came along, real good I was, and everything. You know, a lot of jobs, Jerry Savelle talked about 1969, 1970 when he was in the National Guard. And there was one guy that was a thorn in the flesh to him. And he is, because he wasn't a Christian, he just aggravated him. And I was doing real good, just keep my mouth shut, just going around. And praise God, I thank God I made it through it. Romans 4:3, but I got out of strife. Romans 4:3. Amplified. For what does the scripture say? That's a good question. Abraham believed and trusted in God, and it was accredited to his account as righteousness. Right living, right standing with God. Right living, right standing with God. He trusted in God, and God imputed to him righteousness. The promise to the heir was to Isaac through Abraham, and the promise come to pass. Look at verse 16 and 17. Because of faith. The promise came to pass because of faith. Verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or his posterity, talking about Isaac, like I said, that he should inherit the world, did not come through the observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It comes through, it's not, don't do this, 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 the law. It's come through faith, praise God. It's that Holy Spirit inside you that you're staying in tune to the Word of God, that you know what's right or wrong. It, you know, we all want to do what's right. I know your heart is like my heart, that you're quick to forgive. You're quick to stay out of strife. You're loving God, loving people. That you're thankful for the blessing. You count your blessings you have now, and you're thankful for those things God's bringing you. And that you're thankful to be blessed, and that you want to help others and be more of a blessing. I know that's what your hearts are, praise God. And God looks upon the heart. And, thank God for faith. Verse 16, 17. Promises coming to pass and is the end result of faith. All right, 16 and 17. Therefore, this is the Amplified. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. I'll say it again. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. In order that it might be given as an act of grace, a merited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and the inheritors of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. He is the father of us all. As is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and speaks of non-existent things as he had foretold and promised, as if they already existed. He calls those things to be not as though they exist. He's speaking the blessing. He's speaking the blessing. And that, man, it's even the scientists now today, they're still amazed by the earth and the galaxies, how when God, what they call the Big Bang Theory or whatever, when God spoke into existence, let there be light, and man, it's still the speed of light. It's just the galaxies are just being formed, praise God, and it just amazes them. And they can't wrap their mind around what God had done, praise God. All right. Think of Joel Osteen, you know. That didn't come overnight. It come be from his dad, John Osteen, and a dream he had. The Lakewood Church being the largest church in the United States didn't just happen overnight. It was a process. God increased. John Osteen, 1959, got kicked out of his church because he believed something different than they did, and they kicked him out. Said, you got to go. And he started the church in the back of a feed store in Houston, Texas. In the back of a feed store, praise God. And he got a vision to be a blessing to the whole area of Houston. And it just started getting bigger. Next thing, he's getting a vision to be a blessing to the United States and the world. And you know what? He carried, passed that torch off to his son, Joel, after he passed away. And Lakewood Church has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger because of that vision. John was back there speaking in those things that be not as though they were, calling those things that be not as though they were, and it manifested. So don't give up. Don't quit on your dreams. You know, God, Jesus said, we just read it over in Ephesians 3:20, he's got bigger dreams than you do. Bigger dreams than you do. So, you know, dream big dreams. Abraham was the father of many nations. He did not waver at a promise. He was empowered by his faith that God would keep his promise, even when he considered the deadness of his flesh and the barrenness of Sarah's womb. He was still believing God. And like I said, he didn't have all the instruments, the weapons of our warfare like we have the Bible and everything else now. Inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. I'll say it again. Inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. And I talked about this. I don't know if it might have been a Monday Night Recovery. I don't know. I was talking about standing tough. I think it was. And we how to stand tough. That, you know, the power twins is you got your faith and you have your patience. And you got to, patience upholds your faith to stay strong in those times the devil trying to attack your life. And I agree with Jerry Savelle. It seems like about the time that all hell's broke loose, Satan fired his best shot, is a good indicator that, hey, if you'll stand here, that whatever you're believed for is about to come to pass. It's going to be manifest, praise God. And look at Abraham. He stood, and probably a tough time to stand, and here he come. Sarah, that old woman, give him a son. That's what it says in one of the translations. It says, in, I forget what translation is, that old woman, give that old man a son. I thought that was funny. Romans 4:20. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong. Man, he grew strong. And was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Because that's what he had. Other than what hearsay of what happened to Adam and might have had some stuff written down. And the hearsay of what happened to Noah. He didn't have the word of God. So he praised God. He had that the visions that God gave him. And when God visited him, that's what he had. But let me tell you what. Who was it? I think it was Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland was wanting a visitation from Jesus. Because, you know, Kenneth Hagin talked about how Jesus visited him in vision. Actually came to him and told him things that he wanted to put back in the earth right at the last time here, like the word of faith and where the scriptures were. Because that's the only way he could get it to him. Now, so Kenneth starts wanting to believe to have a vision from Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit starts speaking again. Says, it'll set your faith back 10 years if I come visit you like that. Because I don't have to, because you're wanting it. I had to do that with Kenneth Hagin to come get the things established I wanted to establish right here at this last time. But with you, because you're one, it'll set your faith back 10 years because I had to come show myself to you when you got all the faith you ever need right there from my word. So it was we get all the faith we need right there from his word, praise God. Praise God. That's one thing I was doing yesterday. I spent probably 45 minutes, wonderful time, just sitting there basking in the presence of God, giving praise and listening to God. It was wonderful. I really needed it. I really need it. I'm going to have to close up. Wow. 2010. Well, 2006, Monica came home. We got that little ugly dog we got of her. She's going to get another dog after her birthday and stuff. What is it? Buddy. She calls it ugly. It ain't me. The whole family calls that dog ugly. That dog bit Jimmy one time on the butt and all kinds of stuff. It's a little feisty dog. It loves her mainly. It tolerates me because I got to be around it all the time because I'm sleeping there with Monica and everything else, and the dog's sitting on the floor, so you got to tolerate me. Anyway, so she's getting a new little Pekingese for her birthday there in October. But where was I going with this? Okay. It was 2006, and she came home. God told her she's coming home. And she wanted a little puppy to have around the house, a dog. It was 2 years old. It was a rescue dog. I mean, it had been burnt. It was really scared of me at first. It must have been abused by men. And finally, I've gained its trust. And we got Dish Network. I'm not condemning Dish Network. I got Netflix. Don't think this is stories to condemn TV or something. I'm not doing that. Don't feel under judgment. By 2010, by Saturday mornings when I get it, we didn't get up. We had a TV in there in the room and in the living room, and we had one in our room, and we were almost fighting over who was going to get HGTV or Outdoor Life or ESPN. And we're laying in the bed and everything else. And it become the Old Testament was silver and gold gods and wood become their gods and their things, their idols or whatever. It become a lot more of a life. Now, was I still going to church? Yes, I was going to Family Life Church in Sulphur Springs. I was still serving God and a lot of other things. But I put God second behind some other stuff. He went first, seeking him first. He was getting farther and farther behind. Next thing you know is through that next 3 or 4 months, that summer of 2010, I'm starting to waver. Monica's really wavering on her faith. We're getting, wondering is wavering. The mind, you got to stay victory-minded. And we're getting kind of unstable. And things are getting behind, and the Dish Network, gotta let it go. Finally got it paid off, but to make a long story short, by August came along, I said, I'm going to Southwest Believers Convention. They still had it in August back then to hear Faith. And I got to get built back up. I got to get my life back right. And we didn't have the TV anymore to take over time. So we went, and Monica went just because I went. She didn't really want to go. She was mad at everything at that time. Especially she was upset with God. And we went. We got some material on faith and healing and prosperity and some other teaching that Gloria had. It was really good. And we got full of that stuff through the rest of August. And at the time that we were getting into that more and more, getting strong again, about that time, we get a notice in the mail that's 3 or 4 months after we hadn't paid the house note that they were going to repossess or foreclose. And we had to stand on it. And we just, the girls getting into the homeschooling, getting all the stuff, we're standing on it, standing tough. Now we're back in faith. And you know what? By September, praise God, God brought a miracle. Everything was paid. Everything was back. We were back to, owe no man a thing except to love one another. Wonderful time. You know what? So, you know what? The promise is for us. You just use your faith and trust and believe God. God will bring it to you. Praise God. Stay out of strife. All right, let's all stand. Father God, we just thank your word. We thank you, Lord, that you did give us this covenant. This covenant. And it's a much better covenant now through you, Jesus. Much better covenant. Now, if there's anybody that's been listening to this CD or you hear this sermon whenever I get it up on the website on voiceofbelieverschurch.org, and you say, hey, I love that. I love the way your daddy, what you talk about God as your daddy, and watch over you, to love on you, that you stay in the Word following after him, and you say, hey, I want a Heavenly Father like that. I want this Jesus, his son, to come in my life. I want to be saved and get this good news and this security I need to have in my life. And say, hey, I want Jesus. Well, Romans 10:9-10 says that if you believe with all your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and raised back to the right-hand side of the Father, and you confess him in, that you'll be saved. So if that's your heart, then you can just pray along with me. Jesus, your word says that if I believe that you did die on the cross for our sins and raised back to the right hand side of the Father and ask you in, I shall be saved. So I'm asking for that. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Show me your will for my life. Let me live for you. Show me what church I need to go to in this area I live in. And just guide me by your Spirit. Just give me revelation, knowledge, your word. And if you've prayed that prayer, you can also look over in Luke 11:13. It says that you can get filled with the Holy Spirit. You can ask God to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. Just a simple asking God to fill you up with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And you can take it by faith. You can get your prayer language by faith. And then tell someone. You can either go to voiceofbelieverschurch.org and go on the prayer request. And it works good. It goes to the church account. And you can share your testimony. Or you can go on Facebook, go to Voice of Believers Church and like us and follow us and then share it there. But either way, we'd just love to hear from you, testimony of what's happened, or share it with somebody around your area that's a Christian. Just make sure it's public and share it with other people. And we thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for touching those people. And Lord, I just speak a blessing over everyone here and everyone that's listening. I say that we're all the head, not the tail, the lender, not the borrower. Blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. When Satan comes at us one direction, he had to flee from us 7, because he is in us. The Holy Spirit's greater than he that's in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing deadly will hurt us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. We owe no man anything except to love one another. Our God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Be given, it should be given to us. Give measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall mean given our bosom. The same measure we meet with all us, be measured to us again. Beloved, I pray above all things thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Though 1,000 fall at one side and 10,000 the right hand, nothing deadly will come near our dwelling. No plague or disease come near our dwelling. With a long life you satisfy. Thank you, Lord, for a long life. Lord, we just take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down any and all thoughts that exalt itself against Jesus. Fear, worry, doubt, unbelief, depression, discouragement, heaviness, fear, anything that the future here, judgment, all that stuff that are out there, we say rebuke those thoughts. We walk in the blessing. We plead the blood of Jesus over our mind. We know our daddy is good. All good things come from him. We're going to stay in this covenant of blessings and think on it and proclaim it and do what it tells us to do and act on it, and we shall walk in the blessing. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we get revelation, knowledge of your word. Just bring us those people that don't know you, Jesus, that we can lead them to you and pray that prayer of salvation with them, Lord, that we can guide them into us to be that blessing to them. And Lord, those that do know you but have a wrong picture of Jesus, think that he's like a serial killer. Sometime he bless you and sometime he wants to kick you in the head. And all those wrong thoughts they have of Jesus that way, that Lord, that we can be that person to show them the word of faith, that all good things come from God. That, you know, that there is an enemy out there. And John 10:10 says that Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy, the thief has. And that we can show them that where the actual problems are coming from. And then we can share the rest of that verse. And that's that Jesus give us life and give it more abundantly. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody needs prayer, come on down or come on.